Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners in all stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences to prove to you that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and today we have the honor of having our editor of My First Marathon on the show, who's actually one of the very first guests on the show as well. Since her first appearance back in episode 7, her journey has come full circle from self-proclaimed non-runner to three-time marathon finisher and a certified running coach. This time, Erin joins me to unpack her experience running the Berlin Marathon, which also happened to be your first international race and the hottest Berlin on record. She opens up about pushing through a tough foot injury, learning to trust herself, and letting go of perfection in favor of consistency. It's a story about trusting yourself, redefining success, and remembering that there's no one way to run a marathon. Without further ado, let's jump right in. Please welcome Erin. All right, Erin, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You are no stranger to these guest episodes, so thank you so much for coming on. Erin was actually our 7th episode and is the editor for the My First Marathon podcast, so super stoked to have you on and to talk about a little bit about Berlin, which is your what number marathon for you?
That was my 3rd marathon.
Awesome. Yeah, well, cool. So I'm excited to break it down. Welcome back on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be back, and I love being involved with the show. It's just so great. So thank you, Taylor, for building this community.
Of course, of course. All right, cool. So yeah, we were trying to figure out how we would structure this episode, because you have been on the show before. Like I said, you were the 7th episode, so please go back and listen to Erin's first marathon story from episode 7. But could you give us a little bit of an overview of what your running journeys look like for these first 3 marathons?
Yes. Yeah, so a brief overview of my running journey. Up until about 3 years ago, I didn't run at all. I was the kid who hated the mile run. I hated the presidential fitness test. I barely did any intentional movement in my life. And then I worked the Chicago Marathon in 2022 for my, at the time, my job, my nonprofit job, had a charity team in the Chicago Marathon. I worked the event. I saw the race, I saw the runners, I saw the variety, the diversity of people who are running a marathon. And I was like, wow, maybe I could actually do this and I could raise money for a cause I'm passionate about. And honestly, weight loss was definitely a factor in the decision. But spoiler alert, you don't lose weight usually running for a marathon. Yep. So don't do it. But that was kind of the motivation behind it. So I signed up about a week after working that marathon and started from zero. So I had no background, no training. I never did team sports, never did any of that. The past 3 years has been kind of a journey of learning to love running and get that practice and that intentional movement a part of my life. And running's changed my life and I love it now, but definitely started from zero. So I always tell people, say, oh, I could never run a marathon. I thought exactly the same thing. And now I just ran my 3rd. So you can start from zero and you can build up and learn to love it.
I love it. Awesome. Yeah. And I remember from our first episode that that was the beginning of your running social media journey too. Like, I don't even know if you had a running page, like, or you had just created it or something like that when we first filmed. So it's been really
just
awesome.
Created it.
Yeah. So it's been really cool to watch your journey and adopting the personality as a runner as well. And making a space for yourself in the community. And I think we've made some good strides, not just in the last year, but in the last couple of years in the running community, with being more accepting of runners from all walks of life. And it was just, yeah, really, I was thinking back on the episode and I was like, oh my gosh, you weren't even on Instagram at that time. And now you've got this whole page.
I was like, should I even bother sharing this? And so, yeah, it's definitely, and I credit this show a lot. Like, I've met people through the show. Like, I met Shelly, who was on the show, I think, a little bit before me. So we did, some training runs last year together and we've stayed in touch. And I met so many people through that Instagram and from being on the show and just having that runner community, because I don't really have anyone. I'm starting to more now, but I didn't really have anyone in my personal life who was a runner. So it was hard to share that journey or find somebody to share miles with, or, anyone who wanted, my husband to listen to me talk about it as much as I talk about it, but he doesn't really, he doesn't get it because he's not a runner. So I found a really good community since that episode, really thanks to My First Marathon. So
that's so cool.
That was really
I love
cool.
that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, sweet. Well, yeah, I think let's, we've talked a little bit about your first marathon story again. Go back and listen to that episode. We know you ran a second marathon. This third marathon for you was in Berlin. So that was a big reason, besides you being the editor and being a part of the show, like that was a big reason why I wanted to talk to you. Cause I think there's been very few stories on some of these international marathons. And if anything, we've leaned a little London heavy, it seems like with the international marathons. So yeah, excited to break down the day and hear how it went, but let's start from the beginning of training. What was kind of your mindset going into training? How did Berlin come into how did that fall into your lap? Like how did this whole thing start for your third marathon?
If you listen to my earlier episode, I also signed up for my second one before I ran my first one. So I carried the trend over of like, I started thinking as we were approaching my second marathon, which was Chicago, I was like, what am I going to do next? I really want to do another marathon. And I'm a slower runner, back of the pack. Like I probably will never be a six-star finisher or anything like that. But my job at the time does have a charity team, and this charity team has entries into a lot of the world majors. So I started looking at the world majors because that was kind of an easy way to get into the marathons. And I've learned a lot more about races that are beyond that now. And I really want to probably in the future look more at those. But Berlin, this is kind of ridiculous. Berlin, and because I was in event planning. So Berlin was really the only major marathon that my work had charity entries into that would not conflict or be close to one of the events that I was a lead on.
I see. Yeah.
Berlin was very accidental. Like I really wanted to do New York, but it's really close to one of our largest events. I had thought about London, but that's another one that's close to an event. So I was like, all right, I guess we'll do Berlin. Like I had no really desire to do Berlin specifically, or even go to Germany. I had never traveled internationally before, but Berlin was kind of the one that worked timing wise.
Yeah.
And also the fundraising minimum was a little more achievable than like London, which is pretty significant. So that's really how I chose Berlin. It was very, very much just by accident. And I was like, this will be the one that'll work with the schedule.
Very cool. Well, yeah. And then I didn't realize this was your first time like leaving internationally as well. That's a huge deal. That's a whole other layer to marathon training that I'm sure was on your mind. So I guess like when did you start to think about the logistics? Did you start to try to piece that together at the beginning of training, or did you save some of that for when you got a little bit closer?
I knew once the lottery results were announced for Berlin, I knew hotels were going to start becoming an issue. So hotels I looked at pretty quickly, and we found a great hotel. It wasn't like right by the start line, but it was right close to the U-Bahn station. So it was really easy to get around. It was super easy to get to the start line and everything, but it was a little further away, so it wasn't quite as expensive.
Yeah.
So that was and that's what I like, if you're traveling for one of the world majors, like definitely look for a hotel before the lottery closes, because you're just going to have a flood of people coming in. That was really the one thing we did. It was too early to book flights at that point. So, and then the added layer of being a crazy dog mom, I was like, what am I going to do with my pets for a week, because we were, you know, if we're going to go all the way over to Germany, or is it we're going to stay for a little extra and do some traveling there and some sightseeing. So I told my husband, I really put off a lot of the logistics of like actually getting to Germany, because I didn't know what we were going to do with our dogs.
And
we eventually ended up driving down. My parents live about 8 hours away in Tennessee, so we drove our dogs down to my parents to watch for a week. Like just ultimate crazy, but we have worded them, and well, the one just looks lost. Like there's a webcam and she's just like, I don't know what's going on.
Sure.
I can't do that for a week. I can't look at that for a week. So once I figured that out, then I was like, all right, now we have to book the flights. My husband's very much a spontaneous traveler, so we didn't book a lot of things beforehand. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to feel after the race. And like, Saturday before the race is like, absolutely not. But we did book reservations for Saturday night and Sunday night for dinner. So it's like, we're not messing around with the carb load. We got to do that. So that is another recommendation. Make sure you have reservations, because things book up fast.
Totally. Well, cool. So yeah, you were figuring this out, and I get the crazy, like, I'm sure it was just peace of mind for you having your dogs at your parents' house too. Like I don't even have to worry about it. They're fine. I don't have to check in as much. Yeah.
One less thing to stress about.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Well, cool. Okay. So yeah. So let's, I guess, bring it back to beginning of training. To walk us through, how did we start? How were you feeling going into training? What was your base looking like at that point? Like where was the starting point for Berlin?
Yeah. So I had the probably best starting point of any marathon I've run. I ran Chicago in October of 2024. After my first marathon, I took like 3 months off. My knee was busted up and I didn't feel like running anymore. I didn't even really like it at that point. So I stopped. But this one I was running about a week after, and I just kind of kept up that like 5 to 6 miles on the weekend, a couple runs during the week. I got a treadmill because Chicago winters are brutal. And so I was doing some treadmill running, and I did a half marathon in January, which Shelley convinced me to do. So I feel like I had a very good base going. And it was the first time I felt like I was actually where like they recommend you be when you start marathon training. It was the first time I felt like I was actually there. The problem I ran into is got on the bandwagon of one of those AI training apps, which really helped me at the beginning with base training. Like it really helped me stay on track. And I felt like I was doing more of my runs because I had that accountability in the app. But and if you listen to my first episode, you know, I get really caught up in my pace as a slower runner. And I was feeling like I kind of put out these big goals for Berlin. I was like, I want to run at least a 5-hour marathon in Berlin because it's fast. Like, I feel like I have a good base. I feel like I can do that. And so the plan recommended 2 days of speed work. And I'd basically never done speed work. I've always just focused on kind of completing the distance. And, you know, I was a little like, oh, like I've run a couple of marathons. I know, like, I'm not going to be caught in this trap of like doing too much from the app because I know what I'm doing. And I was like, I just haven't put in enough effort in past training cycles. So that's why I'm slower. So I should be able to put in this extra effort. And it went well for a while. And then I started getting pain in my foot. That was basically right when training started. And so I'm freaking out because I'm like, I have this pain in my foot that's like, it was bad enough that it was keeping me from running. And I was like, now we're in like the actual training part. Like I have this good base and now I'm going to start behind. So at that point, I did go to a physical therapist. They didn't really ever kind of figure out what it was, but I got, you know, the exercises to do. I took some time. I took some rest. But it was one of those weird injuries where it was like, it almost felt better. Like it felt bad at the beginning, but it would loosen up as you ran.
Yep.
So then I also got kind of caught in the trap of like, well, I can keep running. But I did try to take some rest, but I felt like I was then starting from behind. And at the time I had like a pretty, it was like a 90% desk job, but when it was a physical job, it was very physical. And around the same time that was ramping up. So I was like, I feel like I can't rest it as much as I want to because I have, you know, these work responsibilities too. And, you know, I can't be like, oh, my foot hurts.
Yeah.
Because I'm marathon trained around.
They won't get it.
No, it did kind of, it threw me off at the beginning. And I was very stressed about it. And it eventually kind of seemed to resolve itself with like rest and exercises. And I actually got back into yoga, which I used to do a lot of, but it was one of the forms of movement I felt that I could do. Cause even strength training, it was putting enough pressure on the foot that sometimes I felt like that wasn't helping either. So I was trying to limit that a little bit. And then I was like, yoga is like the one thing that kind of feels good. So that like kept me moving, kept me in a routine, which was nice. And then gradually I got to like start going back into running. And I still remember the first, I went out for like my first like really long run, not really, it's not really long, but my first longer run. And yeah. I was like, I'm going to see if I can make it like 7 to 9 miles and we'll see like where in that range I can hit. And I was able to do 9 and I was able to do it pain free. It felt just like incredible and amazing. And I know
the first
you know
one,
because you've done,
yes,
it was just like,
so such a good feeling.
I was like, maybe it's not over. Cause yeah. I was already thinking like, if I can't even start this training, this is going to be a problem. That was, it was a rough, it was weird. Cause I felt so good and so prepared going into the training cycle. And then it was just like immediately just like, I was back to being like, feeling like I was behind everybody else. So
yeah.
That was, it was rough, but we got through it. And I became a certified run coach while I was in the middle of training. So
Let's
I actually
go.
Made my own plan, which I know maybe you're not, so I don't think you're supposed to, I think you're supposed to still go to another coach, but I was like,
sure,
whatever, I'll just do. And seeing you work with a coach, I'm like, oh man, maybe I should get a coach.
Yeah. It's helped a ton.
Yeah. So I just made my own plan. It was really based a lot on what I did before. I left out the speed work entirely, again, because I just felt like, I mean, I guess I should say like intentional speed work. Like I would still try to be like, okay, maybe I'll do, like this mile a little bit faster on my run, but it wasn't like these very pushy like intervals because I feel like it just scared me at that point. I was like, at this point, I just want to make it to the finish line or make it to the start line even. So I was working off my own plan. And then my friend is also training for the Chicago Marathon, which is just a couple of weeks behind Berlin. So I actually found like a running partner for my runs, which was really helpful. The long runs getting me up and out of bed. And like, she's training for her first. So she is kind of learning as she goes. So it was fun to like just share my knowledge and just like yap about stuff on the run and just have somebody to get me out. So that was definitely a difference from last year because I did a lot of my training runs by myself for my first two marathons. And that's been really helpful. Her name's May. She's running with you in Chicago. So woo! I'm super excited for her.
Love that.
Shout out to her for also keeping me company on my 20 milers. So.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So in general, it was a good training block. I feel like it was probably my best. Ultimately, I do feel like it was my best training block because I feel like I just trusted the process and I just committed to doing what I could and showing up where I could. And it wasn't like, oh, I don't have time to do this 4 mile run that's on my schedule. So I'm just not even going to do any of it at all. And I got really wrapped up in that my first marathon. Mm-hmm. And it was just like showing up, like even if I can just do 2 miles instead of three, like just showing up consistently and doing those miles and getting those long runs in. I do feel like the fitness was the best it's been for me going into a marathon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good feeling. But I definitely, I mean, our stories are like almost identical. I knew that, but now hearing you say, I'm like, oh yeah, we had like the exact same experience. It was also my foot, also an AI training plan. And also had to just kind of like adjust mid training block. So I guess if this happened to you for your first marathon, like if you had this same experience with the app and with your foot, how much different do you think it would have been when you were in that mindset to like when you're in this mindset now?
Oh, I don't know that I would have made it to the start. I mean, I'm a super like competitive and like proud, like I wouldn't want to have put it out there and then not do it, but I'm trying to imagine going through all of that and still actually making it to the start line as someone who didn't know, like, cause I had it in the back of my mind. I was like, I know that I can run a marathon. I know I can run a marathon busted up because my first one I was busted up.
Yeah.
So without having that knowledge of being able to do it, I don't know that I would have made it to the start. I think I might have walked off or not even started.
Yeah. No, it's such a testament to like what experience can do, like, or not just experience, but like going through enough as a runner and understanding that, like you said, like that you do just have to trust the process and kind of give into the process at a certain point. And I love that you were also learning about running as you go, like you got your running certification, so you were able to take that plan and adjust it and make it make sense for you and be a little bit kinder to yourself throughout the process. And I think that's just like a nice reminder for our first marathoners who are going through their first experience that you don't know everything and like that's okay. And but yeah, like you're not going to know everything for your first experience, and that's totally fine. And like if you need to go to use your connections, use your resources to help you make these decisions for your first marathon, that is perfectly okay. It's okay to not know everything for your first marathon. But yeah,
it's okay to not know everything for your third marathon.
Exactly.
Like I'm still learning, and I still like every time I think like I got this figured out. No, you don't. Like you will always be learning, and that's one of the things I love about it is it's always kind of learning and trying new things and figuring things out. So
totally.
Yeah.
Love that.
Don't get discouraged.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Just keep going.
Keep going. Uh-huh. Exactly. How getting your coaching certification partway through this marathon, what were you learning that was different than, or like, what were you changing your mind about as you were learning about being on the coaching side of the running sport?
I would say there were a lot of, I think, smaller things that I think are communicated on social media that are actually not accurate. So it was kind of changing those things around. Like everybody was like, oh, you should alternate. You should let your shoes rest for 24 hours in between runs. And it's like, there's actually not a lot of research to support that. And it's like a lot of things that are put out there as fact or things that are still like actively being researched, and there's just not enough information out there. So it was a lot of just like those little tweaks where I was like, oh, like I don't have to, like I can wear my favorite pair of shoes for runs back to back and it doesn't matter. Like not that it doesn't matter, but it's just, it's not necessarily like a, you know, you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
And it was like just learning about the mechanics of running was interesting, like the science behind it. I'm not a super sciencey person. So it wasn't something that was like naturally something I was learning about. But learning about it in the mirror, that was just interesting as I'm like running and like thinking about the humidity and how that impacts and like what's the actual like physiological processes going on in your body. Like I found that very interesting. It was also very nice and distracting on long runs because I was just like, oh, what's my body going through right now? Yeah. And just like, it was kind of just like fact checking the things that I've seen and we all see on the internet and we just kind of take it. And nothing that's necessarily dangerous. Like there's nothing dangerous about like the shoe advice and all of that, but just kind of learning those things and maybe not to just in general, not to take everything at face value that we see on the internet and from influencers and people who are running, like they can say something with a lot of authority, but that's not necessarily true. Or if it is, like, there's not enough research backing it up to support it. So, really like diving into that research. That's why I really like, Vicky, a train strong.
Yeah. Yeah. Run strong, train smart. She's my coach and I still get it wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. she's always posting like I know she has like the meme post, but she also has like all of this research stuff to back it up. And
yeah.
I love the, like the citing of that. So you can actually read what it is and kind of figure out. So it's not just like sound clips of like advice that you learn. And like, I love that more people are getting into this story. I love that people are talking about it. I love that people are learning about it, but it's just kind of like everyone is individual. So especially with running, so figuring out what to believe and what to look more into and what to dig more into, and everything is individual. So it's not, you know, everything does not have to be exactly like you're seeing it on the internet for you to be doing something right.
Totally. Yeah. No, I just took my coaching certification too. And I saw that. It's exciting. I still have to do my CPR and all that good stuff before I'm officially certified.
Oh, because you're doing it in person. Okay.
I did. Yeah.
Just virtual for now. So I didn't have to do the CPR.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. I have to do, I think, first aid CPR or something. I haven't gotten it in like 2 weeks, but yeah. Taking the course. I agree. It was like understanding that I think that the whole theme of the coaching course that I took was like a coach's favorite or the answer that we should depend on as a coach is like, it depends. That's the answer. Because it really does depend on the person, where you live, the climate that you're running, the race that you choose. Yeah. There's so many factors that go into it. And I think social media, especially like in a clickbaity age, it's they're going to make these definite statements of like, if you do this strength training program, you're going to bulletproof your legs for your next marathon. It's like, it's not true. You know, it depends on a lot of different factors. So,
exactly.
Definitely relate to you and like, looking at it from a different lens, a little bit more of a critical lens and, understanding that like, as you're going through your own training, that this also applies to you. Like it also depends for myself. Sometimes that's a harder lens to look through than like looking at other people.
So much harder.
Yeah. But that's cool that you were able to kind of get that like while you were training. So I guess what was the first run that you remember for Berlin where you were like, I feel like I can run this marathon. Like I'm over the hump. I'm understanding what I need for the rest of training. And I feel like I can do this.
It was probably my 20 miler.
Yeah.
Because I'd only ever done my 20 miler as like a supported one. So this one I did some of the miles before I met up with my friend because she did not have 20 miles on the calendar. And I was like, I'm not subjecting you to 20 miles if you don't have to run it.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like all of this like planning my own route and just it was so hot. I'm sure it's hotter and it was hotter in North Carolina over the summer, but it was so hot in Chicago this summer. And a lot of the runs that I was doing, even like the shorter ones, like my 16 miler the week before had just felt impossible. And I did run walk intervals for that because I was so up in my head about even starting it. When I still finished or was getting to the end of that, and I was like, I feel like garbage. It's only 16 miles and I'm doing run walk. I was like, how am I ever going to do Berlin? Because Berlin also has a harsher cutoff time than Chicago. So I was like, how am I possibly going to do this? But the 20 miler, it felt like things clicked more. And I still did the run walk intervals, but it was just more, like, I just felt such a sense of accomplishment after it, even though like it wasn't the first time I'd done 20 miles. I always find the 20 milers harder than the marathon because you don't have any of that race environment pushing you through. You don't have any, like, it's just such a different experience. And it's just so much harder, I think, mentally than the marathon. I told my friend that today. I was like, the 20 miler is harder. If you can do the 20 miler, you're okay.
Yeah.
So, but after I finished that run and I felt terrible and I finished it slower than I wanted to, but I finished it. And when I finished it and I finished it still able to, you know, walk and like finish, I was like, okay, I can do this. I got this. Like, we will be okay.
Yeah. I think that that's something for, like, when you ran multiple marathons and you, when you get to your third, your 20 miler for like your third, fourth, fifth, whatever marathon, like, it feels better to finish at a slower pace and still have something in the tank than it does to finish at the pace that you were hoping for. Did you feel like that for your for your 20 miler? Like, you were able to look a little bit more zoomed out at it, I guess, and look at the bigger picture.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, as someone who just gets so wrapped up still to this day, I still get so wrapped up in how fast I'm running. I have so much anxiety going into these longer runs, and especially the ones that are like race practice, you know, and like the 20 milers are like the closest thing to race practice. So for me, it was like, even starting that was hard. Anything that I can do in my mind to make it easier, and like the run walk intervals even broke it down a little more mentally. Cause it was like, I only have to do, I don't remember how many it was, like, I only have to do like 25 little laps. Mm. And it was different than being like, oh, I still have 10 miles to go. It was like, oh, I only have this amount of laps to go. And it was definitely like a different way to break it down in my head. Again, like that runner math that we do.
Yeah.
But it was a different way to break it down. It just felt more achievable. So having that and just being able to, one, start and then keep going and finish, I was like, it's okay that it was slower because I got the miles in and I got like way more time on my feet than I think they usually recommend. But
sure.
It felt like a sense of accomplishment, even though it wasn't really like race pace, goal race pace, results. It was still, you know, it still felt like I had done the hardest part.
Yeah, totally. How were you like adjusting goals throughout? Cause I know for me with my injury, I had a really hard time with that of like letting go of the time goal that I had. And then as the injury kind of progressed, I had to let go of the B goal. And then you're trying to kind of wrap your head around what the C goal is going to be. So I guess like, as you were progressing through your injury and through training, how were you thinking about those goals since you did have a time goal going into this one?
Not healthily. I did not let go of my time goal until, 2 days before the marathon.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was still like, my fitness is there. I should still be able to do it. And I know like I always perform better in a race environment than I do by myself. So I was like, I still think that this is like relatively achievable. But when things started changing leading up to the race, that was when I was like, okay, now here's my B goal. And then I was like, well, now it's looking worse. Maybe this is my C goal. And then it just became like, can I reach the finish line? And that's okay. Like that's you know, I think people forget in this age of everyone running marathons that it is okay to just want to finish a marathon, and that's totally. Still like incredibly impressive, and something that most people will never try to do. So just finishing is totally fine, and it's okay if it's more than, you know, it's beyond your first marathon if your only goal is to finish.
Oh, totally.
And people, I think it's hard to keep sight of that when you see so many, especially when you get into running and you're following all these and everybody's running marathons all the time. I think it's hard to keep that in mind.
Totally. No, I think that that's why we set these like ABC goals in the first place, is you should always have a goal that you can accomplish. You know, that if everything goes absolutely to shit, like, you know, you have one goal that you can accomplish in the marathon. But no, I think that's a great point with like, even if you've ran multiple marathons, you know. Well, cool. So leading up, I guess, back to where we were at in training. So you ran your 20 miler, and then I imagine you went into a 2 or 3 week taper from there.
Three week taper.
Okay, cool. How was taper for you?
I know, I can't remember if you were like the answer. I liked it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I don't like it anymore. I have had like such like phantom leg pain, like just in my thigh, and I'll just be lying. I'll be like, I can't get comfortable. Like nothing feels right. I will say my last taper for my second marathon, I got really super emotional. This one, I think I've gotten less of the like emotional stuff, but like just physically my body just was like, I was just like, I need to like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like, I don't feel right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing's right. So, I was glad when the taper was over.
Yeah.
But so yeah, that's changed for me. I no longer enjoy the taper. And I even got sick of carb loading this time around. And I thought that would never, ever happen, but I got sick of it.
Yeah. No, I taper, it's been different for me for every marathon, 100%. But Yeah, antsy. Antsy is like the feeling that I feel like you get when you're 3 weeks away from the race and you just like, you can't continue to work towards your goal anymore. You just have to like, let it happen. And your body's like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, it's like, why aren't you moving? Why are you sitting on the couch? Why are you eating so much pasta?
Exactly. It's like, what is happening? But yeah, I guess when you were getting closer, cause you were traveling to this marathon, were you at least able to put some of that energy into like preparing to leave and packing and doing all of that stuff? Or I guess what did the the week or so look like leading up to the race for you?
Yeah. We left on, we drove down to Tennessee on Wednesday and then flew out on Thursday. So we arrived like Friday morning in Berlin. So a lot of the week was just traveling, but I definitely spent like a big chunk packing. So I didn't want to forget anything. I wanted to make sure I had everything for race day packed in my carry-on. Definitely channeled some of it into that. Some planning, like I scheduled a walking tour and then I would just, you know, go on Reddit and look for tips for traveling to Berlin or tips for the Berlin Marathon or just things that I could kind of figure out. And I was planning out like, okay, what metro stop do I have to get off to for the start line, and started doing that kind of a thing. So I am a planner. So it did, you know, we definitely directed some of that anxious energy into that.
Totally. And you said you got to in Berlin on Friday before the race?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, Friday morning.
Cool. So you had a couple of days to kind of like get to your hotel, settle in, kind of look around the city a little bit. And I guess when you were in that in-between period, how were you feeling about the race? Were you anxious, nervous? Like what was going through your head?
I was freaking out.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I think it was Friday when the race sent out a notification that was like, it's going to be really hot, guys. You need to adjust all of your goals and all of your thinking. And because I'd been looking at the weather and it had kind of been going back and forth between being just hot and hot and rainy and like all of this stuff. And I was already nervous about Berlin because it has a faster cutoff than Chicago. It's 6 hours and 15 minutes. And then they also have, I forget what, you had to reach 30K by I think 4 p.m. Berlin time is I think what it said. So there were more, like, I feel like Chicago is a relatively friendly to, I don't think as friendly as New York. New York has like a whole culture around back of the pack getting people through. But I think Chicago is relatively friendly, and Berlin, everything I've seen about Berlin is it is not. And people, and this is maybe where some of my internet research was not helpful. I had a lot of people saying, there will not be water for you if you're slow, like any water at all. Like it'll all be gone by the time you start, if you're starting in the last corral. I also didn't know, I think if it's your first Berlin Marathon, you start in the last wave, regardless of your pace.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah. So don't quote me on that, but I think that's what I saw.
Yeah.
So they're like, you won't have any water. All of the aid stations are going to be done because all of the people who are faster than you will have taken it all. They're very strict about the cutoff. So you will not get a medal if you don't hit that cutoff. And I was like, if I'm going to fly all the way to Germany and run all of this time and not get a medal,
yeah,
I'll lose my mind. So I was already stressing because my goal was to run 5 hours, but my fastest marathon at the time was 6:18. And I was like, that's like about the cutoff. Like I can probably do that. But then you entered in the heat factor. So yeah, it ended up being the hottest Berlin marathon on record. And so as I was just, I basically had to readjust everything. I was like, there's absolutely no way I'm going to PR my marathon time by an hour and 18 minutes.
Yeah.
If it is going to be 80 degrees and sun, like so much of the course was just sun. And I was like, it's just not realistic. And if I start out that fast, if I try to start at that pace, I'm going to blow up at the end. So then it was just kind of, how do I recalculate what I'm going to do tomorrow? How I'm going to show up? I was just really stressed about the timing and the pacing and making the cutoff.
Yeah.
And I was already stressed about it, but the weather announcement was just, it made it worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you thinking about like your fueling strategy at all, like changing anything with that, or you were going to stick to what you had originally planned, or I guess like what did the fueling side look like?
So I thankfully had the foresight to bring my handhelds with me. So I had that option. So my plan was basically, I'm going to fill up my handheld and I'm going to try, just in case there's no water at any of the aid stations, I'm going to conserve that as much as possible and at least have that as a backup. And I've never run with a handheld. Chicago has so many aid stations. Chicago is so well supported with that. Berlin has fewer aid stations to begin with. So not that it was insignificant, but it just less than I was used to.
Sure.
So I had my handheld and I was going to run with that, which I normally wouldn't. I didn't really adjust what I was planning to take during the race. But what I really learned during this training cycle is when it gets hot, I have zero desire to fuel. Like I have zero desire to eat anything, yeah. Like especially the gels, especially like the sweet stuff. Like it's just hard for me to stomach it. So I told myself going in, I was like, you are not going to want to eat and you have to eat. Like you just have to choke it down. Doesn't matter. Like even if you throw up on the course, like it's better than like not eating. Yeah. So yeah. It was really, I like to do, so I planned it all out. So I just like put duct tape pieces on all my fuel, put like the distance that I was going to take it at, which ended up being hard to like find in my pack. So sometimes just like pulling out whatever. Yeah. I was like, oh, dang, this is. And the only time that was bad is when I was like at the half and I pulled out the 40K and I was like, oh,
not yet. Yeah.
No. So I didn't change the fueling, but I was just like, I need to be more intentional about fueling because I'm not going to want to do anything but drink water. And that's going to, that'll make me blow up too.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Well, cool. Well, I guess let's just kind of break down the race in order of how it happened. So we got to the start line. I imagine you were still feeling like those nerves. It was hot. Yeah. I didn't ask, but you said the race started pretty late. What time did you actually like get to the start line ready to go?
I got there around 9 a.m., but my wave didn't leave till 10:40.
Okay.
So the elites leave at like 9:15. There's a second wave that I think was 10:10 or 10:15. And then I was the last wave and that was 10:40. So yeah. That was also my latest marathon.
So it's like to New York, right?
Race start time. Yeah. And by then it was already hot. Like I had brought a throwaway sweatshirt, did not need that.
Yeah.
It was just hot. But it was like, it was pretty easy to get to, but you do have to like walk through the woods a little bit to get to like the actual corral, which was interesting. Uh-huh. And it did get a little bottlenecked, so they were like redirecting us some. I saw videos on social media of people like pulling the gates down to get into their corral.
Oh,
I think it was like the faster people. I didn't see any of that. The porta potty lines were insane, as they always are. I had been told ahead of time that it was basically like not going to happen, so I didn't rely on that. But it was pretty well organized, pretty easy to figure out. Just hot and sunny.
Just hot. Well, cool. Well, let's start breaking down the race. So I'll let you choose like how you want to break it down, but let's start with the first half. What was the first half marathon like?
Yeah. So they start out, they do some very cool, like as you're getting ready to cross the start line, like they do these little like dance things that the like MC like walks you through and these like
cute
clapping thing. Like it's very cool. And it felt very emotional. Like I always get a little emotional before I start a marathon, but this is like a little bit more. And I don't know if it was because there were like at the beginning of training, I wasn't sure if I was going to make it there. And even with the weather announcement, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but like immediately as you're running, you like see the victory column in the beginning, which is really cool. You run around like that roundabout. They had the runners going different directions on the roundabout. I was like,
what?
How does that work?
You just like, I don't know, around each other. That's crazy.
I was like, this is weird. I'm like, am I going the wrong way? Do we get the same, like, are there I think there were tangents on both sides. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So that threw me off a little bit. But starting out was good. It was definitely hot, very sunny. It was hard. So I think Berlin, the field's a little bit bigger than Chicago. It was very crowded at the beginning and it was hard to kind of figure out pacing because I felt like I was just in the way when I was going the pace I wanted to be
at,
sure, which is how I always feel when I start. But then it gets hard to be like, oh, I don't want to be in the way. So I'm like, I'll speed up a little bit. But then I was like, I can't, like, don't let other people dictate your race. Like you have to figure out how you're going to adjust that. So that was a little stressful for the first few miles. And then when we got to about the first 10K. So the other thing about Berlin, sorry, they do everything's in kilometers. So nothing is in miles, which in some ways I think helped because I have so much baggage tied to different miles of the marathon. Like I know at mile 10 in my first marathon, that's when things just went really bad. And I know I hate mile 16 to 18 because they're the worst they're the worst miles for me.
Yeah.
But with the kilometers, like I couldn't, like I know approximately, but I couldn't really like translate it necessarily. So it ended up being like everything was new because I wasn't like assigning any like terrible outcome to any particular mileage. So
right.
That was kind of nice. And the kilometers are shorter. So you're seeing like, even though it's more,
chipping them away quicker.
You're seeing more of them. So yeah. It was an interesting, like it definitely changed my mindset a little bit. So going in the first 10K, that was when I started to not feel super great. I think it was a combination of the heat, and I was also so nervous about running out of water that even when I got to the aid stations, I was trying to like get as much water as I could. So I was like, there's still water here. So I should get the water I can while I can. And I was doing like pouring water on my wrists and like different part, like your head, I think is another good one to do. But it was just, I have never felt that bad at 10K of a race. And yeah. That scared me a lot.
Yeah.
So I was like, I got four more of these to do and I don't feel great. And it was about at that time where I was like, maybe I just need to call it off. Like, maybe I just need to not do this. So I got to give it a little more time. And it was the most emotional roller coaster of a race I've ever done. Like it's always been kind of like, I always start good and either I feel good throughout or there's a point where it just drops off and it's terrible. And this race, it went back and forth. Cause after 10K, I think we got to the half marathon and I was like, oh no, like, no, this is great. I feel good. Like, yeah. I think I've fixed it. I think I've turned it around. And then a couple K later, I was like, oh no, I didn't turn it around. This is terrible.
Yeah.
And it just kind of went back and forth like that for the whole race. I will say, for all of the hate the Berlin Marathon gets for back of the pack runners, they had plenty of water. I had water at every aid station I have. They had clearly gone out to buy more cups because they didn't match the other ones to make sure runners had water. They had showers like at all of the aid stations too, which were really helpful. The spectators were even bringing out like their hoses from their yards
to like
hose out the runners, which is cute. They had, and the other thing I love, they had fruit at all of the aid stations. So when I felt like I couldn't like do the gummies or the gels, it was like, I could just grab like a little banana. And that was something that was much easier for me to get down than like the artificial stuff. I'm like, I can't carry a banana with me.
Right, right.
So it was nice to have that at the aid station. I thought for all of my worrying that I wouldn't have water, there was plenty of water.
That's great. And I'm glad it sounds like they adjusted for the day too, which is even better, you know?
I think they did. Yeah. I mean, obviously I'd never run it before, but the way people talked about it and like they have plastic cups in Berlin, which makes the aid stations a little perilous. But it was nice that I felt like they responded to like what was going on and they adjusted accordingly, which was nice.
That's great. Yeah. Cool. So we made it through the first half. You said you were feeling good. A couple K later, you were like, so it sounds like a little bit of a roller coaster for this one. But where was the point where you hit, if you hit like the quote unquote wall in this race?
That is a great question. Went back and forth so much. I remember that spot at the 10K was where it felt, I think, the worst. Like that was the time where I was like, I'm going to walk off.
Well, it's so early on too. I'm sure that just like really messed with you mentally, you know? I remember my first marathon at mile 8, I got like a cramp and I was like, all right, like this cannot be happening this early. I was expecting like mile 20 for something like this to happen. But yeah, it really does shake you when it happens that early for sure.
Yeah. That was when I remember feeling the absolute worst. And when I was like, I can't finish. And I think some of it, again, because it was in like a different distance than I was used to, it was like, I wasn't sure when the wall was supposed to hit.
Yeah.
And so it was almost like it was the hardest marathon I've ever done. It did not feel good for the vast majority of it, but I don't know that I like hit a wall beyond that 10K where I was ready to walk off. Like the rest of it was very much just like, okay, your time goes out the window. But I had had the foresight to do walk run intervals on my watch. So I was like, I'm going to try to keep up with the 5-hour pacer because I realized that it was probably not going to happen. It's like, when I fall off of that, I'm just going to default to my run walk intervals on my watch. And that should get me through to the cutoff in the end. So it was really just then trusting that training and trusting that process that I had been doing for those longer, scarier runs. Doing that almost saved me from hitting that wall, because I was just, you know, I could have probably kept running when I hit that first walk interval, but I was like, you know what? No, like, you know, you've done this and you know, this has worked and you know that, you know, one of the reasons I started doing it is I heard so many people on this podcast say that they finished their marathons in a faster time than I did doing run walk. And yeah. I was like, it feels like it shouldn't work, but it does. And especially with the heat, I was like, you don't want to just don't keep, this is not the time to push yourself beyond what you can do. Like, just yeah. stick to the training, stick to what your plan was, and then, you know, trust that it will work. And I think because of that, and then also just not really knowing when it was supposed to happen mentally, I was like, I don't know that I really like hit a wall. It was like after I got to that first half marathon, I was like, I know I can do a half marathon. I know that's doable and I can do this. And I just have to trust that process and trust that it's okay to walk and be okay with walking.
Yeah.
And that's how you'll get through this.
Yeah. I love that. That's great. You depended on something that you, like you said, like you knew would work for you. And I think that, like we were talking about goals in the beginning, I think that's part of having why you should have multiple goals going into a marathon. So you don't not hit your first goal and then panic and be like, oh, well, what do I do now? Right. Like, I love that you were able to have that kind of foresight for this one. I guess we love mantras on this show. I think I ask about a mantra or something related to a mantra on every episode. But what were you, if anything, like what were you saying to yourself when you were in those hard points, when you started to have to do walk run, when maybe you were getting to the last like 10K of the race? Like, what was going through your head to get you to the finish line?
I just kept thinking, I know I can do this because you have done this. Like, you know, you can do this. And I was remembering all of those hot training runs that I did. And I was like, that's why you did this. Like, they weren't comfortable. They weren't fun, but you've done this and you have made this work. Just trust the process, trust yourself, trust that you'll get through this. This isn't like your first marathon where you didn't know, like, you know, you can, and you know, you've put in the right amount of training. You know, you went into this race fitter than you've ever been. Like, just trust that.
And keep moving. Keep going forward.
Yeah, don't stop. Just don't stop. Never stop.
That's never stop. That's the worst thing you can do.
Exactly.
So much harder to get going again once you stop.
Yes.
But no, I love that. I love that you were able to pull from the hard stuff. I'm actually going to do a solo episode, I think, in 2 weeks. I have it planned, but on just like why those hard runs matter so much, and why they teach you so much more in training than the ones that go really, really well. Like, the ones that go really, really well, if anything, for me, they feel like, yep, box check, we're good. Like, and then we move on. Mm-hmm. It feels good. I did that. Okay, great. But the hard ones, I think the more you mature as a runner, you realize like, okay, that was really hard, but I'm really glad that I went through that, because when you're in a moment like what you were mentioning, that's when those moments are going to come up for you. So that's awesome. I love that.
Exactly.
Finish line. Tell us about the finish line. What was it like?
I got to about 40K and my husband was there unexpectedly, because I had been like, I'm going to be miserable on this run. You're in a city you're not familiar with. Like, please do not follow me around the race course. I'm going to be slow. You're going to see me for 30 seconds and I'm going to be in a bad mood. So don't even bother. Like, see some sights, see some, like, some things that I'm going to be too tired to see tomorrow. Like, go do your thing. But then I saw him, like, very unexpectedly at 40K. And that was, like, kind of just, like, the boost I needed. You run, so you start getting back into the city because there is, like, a lot of residential-ish running. So you start getting back into the city, and then I think at like 42-ish K, you run through the Brandenburg Gate, which is just incredible. And I think it felt more incredible because there were so many points where I didn't know if I was going to make it there.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can see it in my race pictures. Like, I just lose it because it felt so hard. And there were so many times where I was just like, it's not going to happen. It's not your day. That was a powerful moment. And then
the, like, I did it kind of moment for you. Yeah.
But then of course you still have like a couple hundred meters to run after, which is what everybody tells you. So I already knew that going in, but this was the first marathon shockingly, where I had enough in me that I just like, let it all out on that last like 100 meters running. And I was just so, like, I felt like I had fought so hard for this one and just like ran down, like smiling, crying, losing it to the finish line. And that was just, that was incredible. Like that, and I've never had enough left in me after, or never had like that push to really do that in any other marathon. So that was really, it meant a lot, this one. So just, yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. I get chills. Every time somebody talks about finish line, I get chills. But I like, do you feel like compared to your first two marathons, that was the first time you actually got to like feel the finish line? Yeah, it wasn't just exhaustion, like muting the feeling of you crossing the finish line. But like, do you feel like this is the first one where you were like, this is it, you know?
That's the perfect way. That is exactly the difference. Like my first one, I was barely hanging on. And my second one, I feel like I left a little bit on the course in my second, like, I feel like I maybe could have pushed myself a little more in the second one, but I was so afraid of ending up like the first one. But the third one, I feel like I felt like even the training process, like I felt like I was fighting for every, and I was pushing myself and I was like putting in the work and the effort, and I was fought for every mile on that course because not a single one of them was easy.
Yeah.
And, but I feel like I was able to actually appreciate the significance of it and like the feeling of crossing the finish line versus just, all right, I'm done.
Yeah. Another one off the list. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly. Great.
Oh, I love that. And I guess every marathon teaches us something, right? Like even in your three marathons, you were able to get something completely different out of every single one. So I guess for Berlin, what do you feel like you learned about yourself in this marathon compared to the first couple?
I've said it a lot. I feel like it was really like a trust yourself and trust the process. I feel like I've had trouble, you know, as a newer runner who was really slow, I had trouble trusting that I was doing what I should be doing. And that's it. Ultimately what ended up, I pushed myself too hard and set myself back. But it was really like how, like learning to trust listening to my body, listening to what I'm actually capable of, and not letting other opinions or other, like even my own like negative self-talk get in the way. It was really just trusting that I know somewhat what I'm doing. Like, we can always learn more and improve more, but trust that, yeah, I know what I'm doing. Trust that I'm committed to and a part of this sport, despite my pace times. Despite the fact that I'm newer into it, like just trust that I belong here and that I'm putting in the work that is needed, even if it doesn't feel like it day to day, because I'm not running what everybody else is running.
That's great. I love that. Well, cool. I purposely did not go back and listen to this question that I asked you for the first time that you came on the podcast, because I didn't want to lead you on this question, but advice for marathoners. I don't know if, do you remember what your first piece of advice is? I was kind of hoping you didn't.
I don't.
Okay. All right, cool. Because I want to compare the two. I think that'll be really interesting. But yeah, like now that you've ran three marathons, what's a piece of advice that you'd offer somebody who's going through either running for their first marathon right now, or they're just kind of toeing the line of starting training for it?
Oh, I have so much. What's my one? What's my big one? I think my biggest one is going to be consistency over perfection. I think that's a big one that I've relied on this year. I think a lot of runners tend to be kind of like that type A perfectionist, like very, it's hard for us to let go of that. It's super important to remember that showing up is more important than showing up in what you think is the right way, because the right way is different for everybody. And if you get discouraged because a run doesn't feel good, or because you're running slower than the people you see on social media, it will be so much harder to get the wonderful things that the sport gives you. And I think it's just so much more important to keep showing up, to sign up, even when you're scared, to show up, even when you're scared, to find a way. You know, there were so many runs that I was anxious about when I was training, even for my third marathon. And being able to find ways to show up, to still show up, even if it wasn't in like the perfect way the training plan called for, was just so much more helpful in making me enjoy the process this time around versus this like rigid plan, and you have to be perfect and you have to hit this goal and you have to do this race and you can't call yourself a runner if you don't do this, 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 and this. And I think that just makes it so much more intimidating, and just taking the step of showing up and getting out the door is so much more important to any running journey, but certainly when you're training for your first marathon.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think that's perfect. It's like we always say, you're not going to run 26.2 miles tomorrow, right? Like when you're starting training, there's a process to it. There's a method to the madness. There's no one way to run a marathon. But like you said, just like taking these small steps every single day and just keep showing up for a long period of time is really what gets you there. But that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
Cool.
And all you won't like it. You won't like it at first.
You won't. I mean, gosh, I always tell people who are like, when did you start liking running? I think it took me a good 6 to 8 months. And I know for you, from your first, it took you a little bit longer than that to start really liking
at
running.
At least a full marathon.
right. Yeah. So it's just, you know, it's a journey. And I think you learn a lot about yourself along the way, and there's so much good on the other side. So, you know, like you said, just keep showing up day over day for yourself, and eventually, even if you hate running, even if it takes a minute for you to really enjoy it, like you learn so much about yourself along the way that it makes it worth it. So just keep showing up.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
Cool. Well, thank you for walking through your story again. Yeah. I guess, do you have anything coming up? I know you're just coming off of Berlin, so I wasn't sure if you were training for anything right now. But yeah, what does running look like for you, I guess, in the immediate future?
I do have a blog post I put out that said I hate marathon training. I felt like, despite this cycle being, I think, probably my best one, I think I have been training consistently for a marathon for the last 3 years, and it's very exhausting. So I have made an intentional decision to like step back. Like, this is the first time I finished a marathon and not already had another marathon on the calendar.
Yep.
Taking a step back and not jumping right back into it. I am signed up for the DC half next year.
Nice. I love that September. One.
I haven't done it, so I'm excited to
do it.
Oh,
it's so fun.
I just didn't want it to sell out before I signed up. So.
Yeah.
Because I hear such good things about it. But so
it's
the
so
DC
fun.
Half, I'm looking forward to that one. But I don't have anything else. I've actively stopped myself from throwing my name in lotteries. Big Sur Marathon had a random drawing thing that I almost entered. And my husband was like, what are you doing? Like, you just told me that
this.
You don't want to do, like, you don't want to do this anymore. Like, this isn't about anything except you said you don't want to do this anymore. So taking a little bit of a break to kind of figure out what it looks like. I may not do a marathon for a year. We'll see how long that holds out. But it's really just about like making sure I'm still enjoying running, because I think it's brought so much to me, and I don't want to get to the point where I hate it and I'm burnt out. I did a run this morning with my friend who's training for the Chicago Marathon for her last little long run, which was nice. But I'm like thinking I'll stick to like under double digit runs for a little bit.
Yeah. Just give your brain, give your body a break. I think
exactly.
It's good to have seasons of running, you know?
Yeah. Take some time to just figure it out.
Yeah, for sure. Well, cool. Well, before we get to the fun questions, because I'm curious how your perspective has changed on fuel and shoes. I can't even remember if I was asking those questions on episode 7 or not. I was still
you were.
I was like, okay. I was still kind of learning at that point. But before we get there, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you've been on the other side of the podcast, which I am sure you're sick of my voice at this point. You probably listen to hours of me talking.
Never.
But I wanted to ask a little bit about how that's been. How's it been like being on the other side of the guest episodes and being the editor for the podcast?
I love it. I think it's so cool to, it's cool to get a sneak preview every week before the episodes come out. I always get to know what's coming up next. And I think I was obviously an avid listener before, but, it's been really cool to just listen more to the stories and hear everyone's stories. And then you also start to see like patterns in how people are doing things and things that I never realized when I was listening just weekly. But it's very it's just so inspiring to listen to all of the different stories. And honestly, everyone who comes on the show is so articulate. I'm already thinking about all the things in my episode I have to edit out. But I'm just like, it's like a pretty easy live. Like everybody is just like so, and everybody's just so passionate about it. And it's just so nice. And it's just such like a nice thing to listen to and just have, and like, it's just a nice part of my day where I just get to listen to these runners talk about their stories and like some of the, you know, like I said, like there's not, you know, a lot of people don't need a lot of editing, but it's just like,
good.
Sometimes you get that and like, you can just hear some of their like, maybe unfinished thoughts. I always like listening to you guys talk before like you jump into like the bonus episode and everything, the chit chat and everything. Yeah. But it's just fun to get to know these folks. And then I also like, I always get their Instagrams ahead of time. So I'm like following them so I can tag them and share it. And it's just been really fun to be more involved in that community because I think this is such a special place where people feel like, I feel like so many people get tired of us talking about running, and it's just nice to have a place where everybody wants to hear about it. And everybody wants to celebrate these like impossible, seemingly impossible things we do and the ways we try to show up better every day. And it's just, it's so wonderful to have like just so many people where I'm just like, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. Like, yeah, like this is exactly how I feel. And it's just been really incredible to be a part of that.
I love it. Yeah. I was like, I was really nervous about when I put out that post about taking on somebody as an editor. Cause I was like, one, I need to free up some more time so that I can start to do stuff like the mini episodes that we started doing and like the blog posts and stuff like that. But I was like, I want to make sure that whoever we bring on to edit these episodes, like really understands not just running in general, but like really understands these stories and can relate to these stories. And I feel like I'm just totally gonna like gas you up right now, but I feel like you've done such an incredible job, minimal editing or that like doing a full edit on the episode, of just like capturing exactly what we're trying to do with this show, which is just show that there's no one way to run a marathon. There's a million different ways to run a marathon, and showing up for yourself is the most important thing. But like, I think you've done a really awesome job of just like capturing these stories and maintaining the community aspect of everything. And it was an easy add-on, and I'm excited to continue to with the show.
I'm so glad to be a part of it. I was so excited when I saw your post because I love this podcast and I love working with you, and it's just been awesome. So thank you for letting me be a part of it.
Oh my gosh, of course. All right, cool. Let's talk about some fun stuff. So Fuel and Shoes. What have you been loving for fuel?
For fuel, switch from like the traditional gel to Untapped maple this marathon. So I do a lot of I love their Stroopwafels. And then I have like, they're just their gels. I just do like the pure maple syrup gels. I also cut some of that with Nougs, which I was introduced to from this podcast.
Aren't they great? I love
them. I love them. Yeah. And she's so sweet.
Oh my gosh. She's the best, Paige. Yeah.
Yeah. So because I love that like sour gummy thing, but it feels like it's more intentional candy for fueling. So I've enjoyed that. And then it cuts because the maple syrup, it's easy because it's more natural. It doesn't feel so artificial, but it's very, very sweet. Those are kind of the big things for my marathon. I always throw in Gushers because it's one of my favorite foods that I don't allow myself to have because it feels unhealthy. So I always save it for like my marathons, like the last few miles of the marathon are like my Gushers miles. So yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then what about shoes? What do you like for shoes?
Shoes. So I know when I came on here, I was like a full on Hoka girly before. I ended up getting refitted after my second marathon for shoes. Cause it felt like the Hokas weren't necessarily working for me. And it's interesting. The guy said I have duck feet. So my feet are like too wide, but then like too narrow.
Oh,
he's
sure.
Like, no shoe's ever going to fit you well. And I was like, great, cool.
Cool. Thanks.
So I was running in Asics for a while. There was the Glide Ride Max, I think. And then when I hit my injury, I was like, this is what all runners do. I was like, maybe changing my shoe.
Yeah, it's gotta be the shoes. It can't be anything else.
The shoe. So I tried because I'd been dying to try it, and it just looked so comfortable with my painful feet that I did the Brooks Glycerin Max. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, it's probably placebo effect, but that actually helped. So not advocating that for shoes as an injury solution, but this time it worked for me. And that's pretty much what I trained for the rest of the marathon on. And it's what I ran the marathon in.
Very cool. I love it.
I did try the Adidas. Oh God, what do you call them? Because everyone on the podcast was recommending the Adidas Nova Blast SL.
The Adidas ones. The Evo SL. Yeah, yeah. I actually love them because they've been recommended so many times.
But they, I don't know. I think I just have old lady joints. Like when I started getting into double digits, I felt pain in my joints more. So I was like, I probably need more cushioning for the marathon, but I love them for the shorter runs. I think they're like great. And everybody kept saying they feel different than any other shoe. And I was like, how could they possibly? And they actually do.
It's the foam. Yeah. It's true. About the foam. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And I didn't give my normal disclaimer, but obviously fuel and shoes, this is an individual journey. You should go get your feet measured. Like what works for us might not work for you. So definitely do your own thing. I will say with the Adidas Evo SLs, if you are going to try them, I'm going to run Chicago in them, but I had to put my own inserts in them because the inserts in them are like paper thin. So
oh, they're very thin.
Yeah. If you want to try it, you know, maybe try your own inserts in them and see if that helps. But the foam.
And try lots of shoes.
Else. Yes.
Like I got fit once for Hoka and I was like, I'm just going to stick with this. And like, it's actually been very fun and they won't all work. Like I tried the A6 Nova Blast, did not work for me at all.
Yeah.
Worked for so many people. I was surprised, but it did not work for me. So it's just like trying those shoes. And a lot of like the running stores will have like 30-day return policies and you can have run on them already. It's like,
yeah,
try them out and try new things and don't be afraid to try. Like you can mix it up and try, you know, try fun new shoes and just keep experimenting because they're improving shoe technology all the time and they're changing shoe models all the time. So I definitely encourage people to try out as many as they can, do shoe demos, all that stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, thank you again for coming on and talking to us about Berlin. Super excited to see, this like next facet of your running career. I'm also going to do something similar after Chicago where I'm just going to try to like see what my relationship looks like outside of marathoning. So I'm very excited to see how you tackle that as well.
Yeah. I'm a little worried I won't keep up with running if I don't have a race on the calendar. So we'll see what happens. So far, so good. I mean, it's been a week, but you know. So far, so good.
Yeah, I haven't signed up for any marathons yet, so we're good.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, cool. Well, thank you again. Thank you, Taylor. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it.
Sounds good.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the My First Marathon Podcast. For more stories, tips, and resources, head to myfirstmarathonpodcast.com. And if you want access to bonus episodes, exclusive resources, and extra support for your training, make sure you check out the community at myfirstmarathonpodcast.com/exclusives. You can also follow along with us on socials, Instagram and TikTok. That's at myfirstmarathonpod. If you want to follow along with my personal journey, that's at tay.says. Whether you're training, recovering, or just thinking about signing up, you belong here. I'm so excited that you're here, and we'll see you on the next one.